This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
For the second month in a row, Americans spent less. From APM in Washington, I'm David Gura, in for David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. The Commerce Department released new data this morning on consumer spending. In January, spending was down 0.2%, and for reference, in December it was down 0.3%. Economists attribute the dip, at least in part, to falling gas prices. Eugenio Alemán is one of them. He's a senior economist at Wells Fargo Securities, and he joins us now. Good morning.
Hi, how are you?
We've had now 2 months of decline. Is that necessarily a bad thing?
No, because the numbers are being reported in nominal terms. So in this case, the drop in gasoline prices during January contributed mostly to the decline in the nominal number. The positive is that in real terms, if you take inflation out, the number increased by 0.3%. So the January number was very good.
And we've heard for these last few months, as oil prices have been dropping, that this is a good thing for consumers. They're going to have more money to spend. Just when you take this all from a larger view, you're seeing that as the case, that this is going to be a good thing going forward.
Yeah, it is a good thing. I mean, we believe that that is not going to be the case in February because gasoline prices have come up. So we are going to see some retraction of the consumer probably a little bit. But because we are seeing a very, very strong income increase, I mean, if you look at disposable personal income for January, it increased by 0.9%. So that is going to give the U.S. consumer a lot of ammunition to consume, at least during the first half of the year.
Eugenio Alemán is a senior economist and director at Wells Fargo Securities. Eugenio, thanks very much.
Thank you. My pleasure.
We finally know who Costco will team up with for a lucrative credit card deal. The warehouse club dropped American Express. It's just announced it'll work with Visa and Citigroup going forward. And Amex says this will hurt the company's earnings for 2 years. Coursera is a company that's made a name for itself working with universities to put college classes online. These have come to be known as massive open online courses, or MOOCs. Today and tomorrow, Coursera holds its annual conference. And the latest trend? MOOCs that are designed for workers to sharpen their skills. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer reports.
The ivory tower is merging with the corporate suite. About half the people taking MOOCs on Coursera are trying to upgrade their job skills. Some corporations have started paying for Coursera's certificate programs. Rick Levin is CEO of Coursera. He says MOOCs are especially useful for new fields, like analyzing big data for things like credit scoring.
Since it's a brand new field, nobody studied it in school. That is, anybody over 30 never even heard of it when they were in school.
So their employer pays for them to take a MOOC. Jean Meister is a partner with the consulting firm Future Workplace. She expects corporations to start demanding more.
Custom MOOCs to fill particular skill gaps. That's where it's going.
Meister surveyed 195 HR executives about MOOCs a year and a half ago. 70% wanted to use MOOCs for training, but there weren't enough MOOCs on the subjects they wanted. Their complaint now? Too many MOOCs to choose from. I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
Many U.S. cities want to become the next Silicon Valley, and the competition for tech companies and tech talent is fierce. There's a group in Minneapolis pushing for something novel, hoping it'll give the city an edge, a name change. Mike Moen has more.
When you research top U.S. cities for business startups, some unexpected places are mentioned. Communities like Bend, Oregon, and Franklin, Tennessee are two examples. Folks in the Minneapolis-St. Paul area hope their name pops up a little more in these rankings. So what can they do to get noticed? How about a divorce from the Midwest? A group of business leaders and academics think Minnesota should break away and establish a new region called the North.
The North isn't just Minnesota. It includes parts of Iowa, a big part of Wisconsin, parts of Michigan, parts of the Dakotas.
That's Dean Tom Fisher of the College of Design at the University of Minnesota. Fisher says this grassroots effort gives the region a chance to promote something it is often ridiculed for.
In the North, where we often apologize for being cold, at least in winter, part of what we're talking about is to recognize that there's actually a huge advantage to that.
Fisher says in a cold climate, people aren't as distracted during the winter months, allowing them to huddle up and be creative. He points to the innovative culture in places like Scandinavia. Fisher also says Minnesota and surrounding areas are overlooked for their contributions to the tech community, especially when it comes to healthcare technology. But Paul DeBettings, a local tech recruiter, says a campaign centered around a name change won't do much to convince young innovators to flock here. He adds that bragging about being able to thrive in harsh winters might not be a good idea.
I usually get asked four questions from candidates. The first one is, how cold is it? And then, no, really, how cold is it?
DeBettings says those behind the regional name change should ditch their geography obsession. He says they'll get more mileage out of simply promoting the good things that are happening in the startup community. He also says it wouldn't hurt to remind the rest of the world that it does get warm here during the summer.
In Finally, McDonald's has a new CEO. His first day on the job was yesterday. The golden arches have lost some of their luster in recent years. Revenue and net income were both down in 2014, something that hasn't happened in more than three decades. This week, McDonald's convenes a special turnaround summit. A reporter for the Wall Street Journal saw an agenda, and one of the company's goals, apparently, is to change the conversation about McDonald's, to, quote, counterattack brand disparagers with continuous positive news. I'm David Gura with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.